If you go to a self-help area of a library or a bookstore, you're going to find a lot of books, lots of them. But you will not find one book or writing in the self-help section from St. Paul. Nothing of the five steps that you need to take for a peaceful life or the power of positive thinking. But yet St. Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians today, have no anxiety at all. Did you hear that? He writes, have no anxiety at all. When you look at the life, the missionary life of St. Paul, it's not a life you're going to look at and say, ah, a life of peace. Traveling around leisurely in the Mediterranean, visiting different people, telling about Christ. No, St. Paul's missionary life, as he makes very clear, was one of lots of suffering. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was imprisoned, and then they cut off his head. It's not exactly like this life of peaceful prosperity. Yet he writes about peace and anxiety, and he says, have no anxiety at all, he writes to this Christian community, and this Christian community here. What Paul means by peace and anxiety. Peace, we can often think of as being finally free of something, as the absence of something. Like if I was finally free of all my problems in my life, if those weren't there, well, then I would have peace in my life. Or if the conflict that was going on in my family right now wasn't there, then I would have peace. But peace isn't the absence of something. It's the presence of something. The peace St. Paul speaks about is the presence of God. And living one's life knowing that they are in the hand of God, that he is with them. And this peace he speaks about, which surpasses all human understanding, it's a peace of Jesus Christ that protects the mind and it protects the heart, he says, is not one that you can achieve. You can't live your life and say, I'm going to achieve and grasp after peace. You can't get it. Peace is something you can only receive. You can't grasp after it. It's the presence of God, and it can only be received. Anxiety, on the other hand, is precisely the absence of something that should be there. Whereas peace is the presence of God and knowing he is with me, anxiety arises out of a sense that God is not with me. Or he just doesn't care, that I'm alone in this. And so what is the experience of anxiety? When one has a sense that they're alone, that you're cast out and this is all on you, what does a person do in the midst of anxiety? What do? You start grasping after things. You're trying to find some safe security, something you can hold on to. Anxiety comes out of this sense of abandonment and isolation. And it leads to grasping after things. I need some security. There was a French philosopher in the 20th century. He's an atheist. Jean-Paul Sartre did most of his writing in the late 1940s and 50s and early 60s. And he made his career out of writing about what the practical consequences of not believing in God are, what the practical consequences are. And he says that a life without God is anxiety. Because living this life without God, everything is on you. It is up to you to determine the meaning of your own existence, he says. that all the weight of the world is on you. But here's his thing. And remember, he's writing to a Western world in the 50s and 60s, where by and large, most people would still say they're a Christian. But he would say, he's like, I'm not writing about something theoretical here. He would say, all you Christians, you're living as if God doesn't exist anyway. He says, I'm not writing theoretical philosophy. I'm just observing. That he says, if Christians believed what they said, then they would lead this life of complete dependence and trust on this God of theirs. But instead, God doesn't exist. And so we need to embrace that, and you need to grasp hold of your own life and determine its own meaning. He said, it's better to die on your feet than live on your knees. Life is anxiety because God doesn't exist. But if a person admits to that, then he says you can actually grasp hold of your life and begin to live. He's an existential atheist philosopher. St. Paul, though, St. Paul speaks elsewhere in his letters of how the life he lives now isn't even his own. St. Paul says, the life I live now is not my own, but rather it's Christ living within me. It's Christ who's alive within me. My life isn't my own. And because of this, though St. Paul went through immense suffering, he was able to live a life in his ministry in which it could truly be free of anxiety. Because it was God living within him, Jesus Christ himself. And so he says that, I don't even know whether I'd rather live or die, because either way I win. If I die, I go to be with God who I long for, and if I live, I live to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That here was a man who was free and a man who could live with the peace of Christ in him, which he always opened and closed his letters with. The peace of Christ be with you all. Because it was Jesus who was within him. And St. Paul, you would think of this and you say, well, I don't know, because if I were to live in this way in which my life is completely in God's hands, I mean, you kind of need that fire in your belly, right? You got to have a little bit of anxiety if you're going to get something done in life, right? Because otherwise you'd just be apathetic. You're like, oh, my life is in God's hands. I'll just... You got to have a little fire in your belly. So you need a little anxiety, right? That's what we think. St. Paul is able to live this life in which his hands are completely... He was completely in the hands of God. And his missionary journeys, if you add up all of the miles, it's more than if you would travel from here, Dickinson, North Dakota, to Rome and back. It's how far he traveled in his missionary journey. Because that's how apathetic he became in the gospel message that he had. It was the fire of the freedom of the gospel and of Jesus Christ alive that was in him. And that was alive within him. And that spurred him into this work in God's vineyard, a humble servant in his vineyard. This is the image that is throughout our readings today as well. The vineyard. This representation of Israel, God's people. And God is the master. And of course, the struggles and the failures of Israel are our own struggles and failures. Of Christians, the church, the new Israel. But I want to just point out one little thing from this. Why are these such crappy tenets? Why are they so crappy? And I'm not just talking about what they did. Yeah, they didn't produce good fruit. Yeah, they beat the servants that were sent. They even killed the son. But why? Like, what was at the heart there? C.S. Lewis writes in his book, The Screwtape Letters, which are these letters from this demon Screwtape to this younger new demon, Wormwood, giving him advice and sort of a playbook. And he writes that one of the things you have to do with these humans is you have to convince them that they're the owners of things. Because he says the enemy, God, he wants these humans to be completely dependent on him and to trust in him completely. But he says what you have to convince humans, and this is a delicate art, he says, you have to convince them that everything is theirs. You have to convince them that what is in their heart is mine. So convince the humans that their life is theirs. My life, mine. My time is mine. My body is mine. My choices, they're mine. My career, it's mine. My money, it's mine. My Sunday, it's mine. And he says, if you can get within the humans this heart, which thinks it owns all of this, he says, then you have a start. Then you have a stranglehold within them. We hear in the parable that Jesus tells that the owner puts these tenants in charge of the vineyard. He leases it out to them. They don't own it, but he's put them there to produce fruit as we have. But then what does the owner do? What does the master do? He leaves. He goes on a journey. The master is no longer there. And after a while, maybe he doesn't even care either. But the master is not there. Hence enters this spiritual anxiety. But where we see it bearing fruit, the evil fruit in their hearts, is eventually this desire even, this vineyard, if we kill the son, it becomes ours. They grasp after the vineyard itself. Screwtape, writing to his nephew, says, of course, this lie that we can convince the humans of, the great joke of it, the great irony, is that in the end, the only ones who can say truly, mine, they say, is our dark father or the enemy God. That in the end, either the devil or God will say of the human being, mine. Have you ever seen on this altar, this is the beautiful thing about great Christian architecture and art, is it has such deep meaning. Do you notice what's underneath this image of the Last Supper? Right underneath the table of the Last Supper is the vine and the branches with the grapes. Of course, that image of the vineyard is one that Jesus then declares himself to be the vine and we are the branches. That your life is not your own. Your life is not your own. And the more we believe that our life is our own, the more we live in a higher and higher state of anxiety. But the more we live in the reality and the truth that your life is not your own, but your life belongs to Jesus Christ, who ransomed you and who has taken you and grafted you on to himself as a branch on the vine to produce good fruit, and that everything we do, every good fruit we produce, because God is within us and we are within him. That the great irony is at the Last Supper, the only one who can ever say truly, this is my body, this is my blood, this is my life, gave to us at the Last Supper his body, his blood, his life, so that he could live within us, so he could truly be with us until the end of time, alive within us. And we don't grasp it, rather he says, take and receive. We come to receive him. He who can truly give himself to us, we receive his life within us. so that we can truly live in a way in which have no anxiety, but rather receive the peace of Christ, the peace which surpasses all human understanding, and the peace of Christ will protect your mind and it will protect your heart, so that at the end, the only one who says to you, mine, is God the Heavenly Father.